Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on things to come. We're looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. And we began last time to look at a period of time in the future that is going to come upon this earth called the tribulation period. And we're going to pick up. We started to look at the purpose of the tribulation. Now, we're going to continue to look at the purpose of the tribulation, but before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're most grateful to Thee for this opportunity to come and open up Thy holy words, Your very inspired words that You preserved in this good old King James Bible. Father, my prayer is as Your word goes out today, I pray that You would use Your words, not my words, for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray that Your words would encourage, edify, lift up the saint of God. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray, if there's a lost soul that's on their way to hell, that's never repented of their sins, and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in only His shed blood to pay for their sins and then save them from going to a sinner's hell, I pray that this day would be the very day of their salvation. Father, now, we commit this time into Thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, last time we began to look at the purpose of the tribulation. We saw, first of all, the purpose of the tribulation was to prepare Israel for her Messiah. Second, now, the purpose of the tribulation is to pour out judgment on the unrighteous. In Romans chapter 1, in verse number 18, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we read, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And then in Isaiah chapter 26, in verse 21, we read, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." You see, my dear friend, this is necessary to bring about a time when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. Now let's move on to our third main point on our study on the tribulation, and that would be the mark of the tribulation. And now we need to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and we'll look at verses 16 through 18 together. We read, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Many have made attempts to identify the Antichrist using the mark 666. My personal opinion is that this Antichrist will not be recognized until after the tribulation has started. There are several facts that we do not know about this mark. Let us take time to examine them. Now, first of all, the mark is the number of man. Numbers in the Bible have meaning. For example, the number 7 is the number of completion or perfection. The number 6 is the number of man. It is one shot of being complete. This Antichrist is still on the level of man. The second thing about the mark of the tribulation is the mark will be necessary to trade. Revelation chapter 13 again, verse 17, we read, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You see, to get food, clothing, or any other things necessary to live during the tribulation, one will have to have this mark. The required mark will have to be in the right hand or in the forehead. It may be visible to the natural eye, or the mark may be ultraviolet. But the mark will be required to work, sell, or make any purchases. The third thing about the mark of the tribulation, the mark invokes God's wrath. The mark invokes God's wrath. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 16, in verse number 2. We read, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So we see then a terrible sore will come specifically for those who have the mark. The fourth thing that we want to see about the mark of the tribulation is the mark will seal one's future. The mark will seal one's future. What do I mean by that? Well, let's turn to the book of Revelation again. And in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, let's read together verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And of course, the Lamb is capital L, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 now. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Then further in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19, we read in verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You see, my dear friend, the mark is like signing a contract with the devil. When a person receives the mark, his future destination is the lake of fire. There is no way to change this. Amen. So that's some information there on the mark of the tribulation. Now let's move on to our main point number 4 on our study on the tribulation. And we want to look at the 144,000 of the tribulation. The 144,000 of the tribulation. Now, for that, we need to turn to the book of Revelation in chapter number 7, in verses 2 through 4, we read, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, there has been a lot of speculation about who these people are and what they represent. Some believe that only these 144,000 will not receive the mark of the beast and come through the tribulation. Now, others, for example, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we'll look later on in our study what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe concerning the 144,000, but others like the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that only 144,000 will get to go to heaven. As we approach this subject, let us together rightly divide the Word of God so that we may understand this. Now, let's identify the 144,000 that are going to be sealed during the tribulation. Well, as we read, they are 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel. Now, we stopped in verse number 4 of Revelation chapter 7, but we need to read verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 to see who the 144,000 really are. Verse 5, Revelation 7. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. You know, truly there would be difficulty on the part of man to identify 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. There will be no difficulty on the part of God. God still knows the tribe from which everyone descended. There will be 12,000 from 12 tribes making up the 144,000. So first of all, as we look at the 144,000 of the tribulation, we see, first of all, they are 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel. Second of all, they are servants of God. They are servants of God. Let's again turn our attention to Revelation chapter 7. And this time we need to look at and read together verse number 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So these 144,000, these men are special servants of the Lord during the tribulation. They are actually sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads. And my opinion is that this happens before the mark of the beast is invoked, just after the rapture of the church. The mark of the beast, 666, is Satan's attempt to copy God. Satan is a copier and not a creator. Now we need to turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. Let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 9, and we'll look together at verses 1 through 7. And what we're going to see here is Ezekiel prophesied of the sealing of the servants of God. Now again, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9. And we'll read down verses 1 through 7 together. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and with a writing inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the written ink on by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth, and slew in the city. We have some further information on the 144,000. Again, in the book of Revelation with me, and this time chapter 14 and verse number 4, we read, These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And of course, the reference to the Lamb here, capital L in both cases, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So these special servants are totally committed to God. They are not married. Their only commitment is to do the work of God. Now, a third thing about the 144,000 of the tribulation is they have a special message. They have a special message. Now, what we have to understand is it's going to be a gospel preached, amen, during the tribulation. But it's not the same gospel, amen, that you and I are saved by, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God. Now, we know that in the current church age, which is also referred to as the age of grace, that we're saved by grace through faith. And there's no works involved, amen? Let me just give you the verses. Again, some who may be listening today, maybe for the first time, maybe are trusting in something other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save them. But clearly in the church age, we see that we're saved by grace through faith with no works involved. Let's first turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we see that clearly we're saved by grace through faith with no works involved. Then let's turn together to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, look at verses 9. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 with me, verse 16, we read, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. And, of course, look in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And, of course, we see Jesus deals with in John, chapter 3, a religious man, a religious Jew, Nicodemus, and he tells him, you must be born again. In spiritual birth, a second birth, a spiritual birth, amen. Not a physical birth. And of course, we have that great verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18 of John 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. But he hath not believed because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why a person's condemned. Then verse 36, John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Believing on Christ, no works involved, saved by grace through faith. One last verse I want to show you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we see there's a difference in the age of grace of the gospel that's preached now, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the gospel that's going to be preached in the tribulation. And time's running out, but we're going to look at those two different gospels. The one today, someone saved by, and the tribulation gospel. So we'll do that next time as we continue our study here on the tribulation, on the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day. Now, a lot of material here now.